my great pleasure to have a sanctuary come to us today, and I'm going to let Heather introduce people that are with her, but one special person that I am going to acknowledge is the mother of Alana Baker, and Mary Beth Baker is here, and she's been on the board, I think, a long time, like 12 years or so. So thank you, and for the ones that are younger, whenever they blew up the bridge, someone made a large donation to our Rotary Club so she could push the button to detonate the bridge. Nick, you missed it, but a lot of us were in your kitchen before you owned it, watching the bridge blow up. So, and we as Rotary members appreciate that and appreciate your service. Some of you may or may not know that Sanctuary has a big project going on, and so I've asked Heather to speak to that, and then you can introduce the people you would like to introduce. Thank you for coming. I can get the lights. That's the kind of technology I have.
I'm going to move out of the way. Everybody see this okay? Thank you, HB. He instructed me to call him HB. I'm normally of a Mr. Quinn, but he said no, absolutely not. So, HB it is. And thank you for that introduction and also allowing me the opportunity to acknowledge some of those with me in the room whom I could not do this very important work without. I can't outdo the introduction he gave Ms. Baker, though. But thank you. She's been a longtime board member, hired me 7 years ago, been through some things. She's been a great source of strength for me in the work that Sanctuary does. And so also I have Ms. Marcia Garnett. She is a longtime supporter of Sanctuary, has been very critical in helping us to plan and navigate the next steps for Sanctuary. Very loyal in attendance for just about everything I've asked of her, so really appreciate both of you being here. And also Kelly Coker, she is our manager of sexual assault programs, and she's been with Sanctuary now for a little over a year. She's still getting her feet wet, she's still making connections, and so excited for her to be here and to meet all of you and the wonderful support that you show Sanctuary and you have for over 40 years now. I understand that the topic of domestic violence is hard. It can be heavy, it's uncomfortable, but nonetheless, it is a topic that needs to be discussed. We need attention on it. We know that it's happening in our communities. The courage to begin again, you'll see here on the screen and on our shirts, we wear them with pride. These aren't just words, they have meaning. They reflect real-life decision-making in the midst of really hard times, chaos, heartbreak, confusion, and sacrifice. Each year, hundreds of survivors are served by Sanctuary across the 9-county region. They want better for themselves, they want better for their children, and we're here to help them navigate some very difficult processes. Thank you to each of you in this room, and again for the invitation. I can't say enough about the incredible support that you all do show us, and I mentioned that. But whether that's been through your financial contributions, through your volunteerism, whatever that may look like, your referrals even to those that have needed our services, you are making a difference. You're changing lives and you're saving lives every single day. So again, thank you for that. Next slide, please, Kelly. We enjoy connecting and serving in taking care of people in Trigg County. So you can see here, this slide, in the last few years, 1,026 services have been provided to Trigg County community. These services include, but are not limited to, the stays in our emergency shelter, therapy, financial support, group support counseling, and also safety planning. These pictures here are just a few examples of ways that we plug into this community, whether that be sharing our services, education on the topic of domestic violence and sexual abuse. You see here a picture of Trigg County Genesis Express. Also, a picture of our advocate posing at one of Trigg County's back-to-school bash events. And also our annual Chalk the Walk just outside of Trigg County Hospital alongside nurses and staff. You might know our victim advocates, Crystal and Anna. Each week, they're present in the Trigg County Courthouse alongside Judge Schock, supporting victims of domestic violence. Every Thursday, they are there guiding victims through the legal process, but also showing their immense support for the hardships they've been through in these very difficult, heartbreaking times. Next slide. At your tables, you will see our year-end reviews. Those are for you to keep, for you to look over in your spare time, read up more about Sanctuary and how we've been involved in our communities over the years. This is more data on a screen, and I won't read these to you, but I would like to ask your focus on bullet point number one. It's important to note that Sanctuary is more than just a place to stay for one to lay their head down at night. When individuals come to us for help, there are many complexities that we must first address. So while 15,467 bed nights were provided in the last year by Sanctuary, and this is across the nine counties, those numbers could never fully express the human experience behind these numbers. Each bed night reflects a person in crisis, met with compassion, met with safety, and support as they begin the healing process. So typically when I present, I do go more in detail about the types of services, but I mentioned your handout and there's more information in there if you're interested in learning more about the services across the nine counties. But I thought today we could put some emphasis on some really exciting work sanctuaries in the works. And by this, I mean the relocation of our emergency shelter. I would say the first public announcement we made about our critical need for a reimagined sanctuary came in 2022, nearly 4 years ago. It was announced at our 40-year anniversary dinner and celebration, and it was at that time leadership such as Mary Beth, who met this concern of confidentiality and safety and lack thereof, and what needed to be done about it. So first and foremost, and again on this slide, we address the impacts on safety, confidentiality, and the efficiencies of our building. Because for many, we exist to be that structure of safety. When they're fleeing their homes because they have nowhere else to go because it's no longer safe at home, they come to us. Not only do they expect immediate safety inside the building, but it's also in the immediate area where we're located. Now, without saying its current location, I can let you know that it's a very public space that we occupy right now. And around the building are very public streets and business neighbors and lots of foot traffic and car traffic, which do conflict with our privacy practices. And I mentioned the efficiencies of our building, but the building is 1800s model. She is increasingly decaying. We have maintenance repair needs all of the time. We know this is not the most efficient approach, and I think you'll agree with that. While we've been blessed to have the grant monies that we get from state and federal funders, we can't continue at this rate. So while we're certainly appreciative, we do know we can do better. Lastly, the limited green space. If you think of a concrete island or a cement, you know, no color, okay? That's a concern. Our bodies, they thrive on green space and nature and outdoors, and there are lots of reasons we would want green space for our adult survivors, but also our smallest survivors. And I'd just like to poll the room here. How many of you feel better going outside, being cooped up inside, going outside and just feeling maybe the fresh air on your skin or taking that breath of fresh air? It can make a world of difference. We certainly want that for our survivors. It can be a therapeutic outlet, as well as the children I mentioned, for their recreation. So together, let's take a look next at what our clients at Sanctuary say about services received by Sanctuary. I think the first one, go back. Thank you.
Okay, and the second slide.
So what we can gather from both slides here are both expressions of gratification, but still the underlying concern and feel, the overwhelming feel of fear, simply based on the geographical location where Sanctuary is located. In my experience at Sanctuary, it has been noted, it's been brought to my attention along with other staff members, that people fleeing abuse oftentimes feel stuck and unable to move freely when they've achieved coming to us for safety. I do want to say, if you don't know, stalking is a serious crime in Kentucky. We acknowledge that. I believe it. We have a lot of education to do still on that subject, what it is, and ways to go about reporting it. But I'm here to tell you it is downplayed. It's all the time we don't take it as serious as we should as a community, and that should change. But we do know that stalking is the first indicator before physical harm is caused. Please understand that if you don't already, that domestic violence and the response to domestic violence by a police officer is oftentimes one of the most frightening calls an officer can receive. Anybody here in law enforcement or know somebody? If you ask them, they will tell you. Due to the heightened emotions and possibly coupled with weapons, sometimes situations can become very, very dangerous and can turn deadly. In our journey to relocation, we do like to mention that input has been critical, including input from law enforcement. Conversations with Christian County Chief of Police and Sheriff DeArmond, they indicate that we do need safety, continued safety for survivors, in addition to the officers who respond and transport survivors to our building. That was also brought to our attention, and we should work towards providing safety for all involved. I mentioned that this process has required feedback and thoughtful considerations, but it's taken strategy as well, and there's not a good plan out there that didn't take some time. And believe me, when I would love to have said we could move today, like I would have loved for that to happen as quickly as possible, but this has taken some time, and we certainly honor that. In our efforts to find solutions for the concerns, though, that we've noted here, a number of options have been explored in making this vision for relocation possible. Facilitation and completion of a feasibility study was one of them. We're working with some consultants out of town who are experted in this process and helping us to guide next steps. Observing various shelter models across the state to learn what works, what doesn't work. Researching prospective land opportunities. And planning meetings with the board, but also special committees, in addition to securing an architect that could bring our vision to life. Also, exploration of finance options, because how are we gonna pay for it? That's important. So those types of discussions have been had and have brought us to the point where we are today. We're excited to share with you that today, our news and the news that we celebrate is the purchase of land. And I look to Mary Beth, who's been on the board with us now, you know, for going on 12 years, but 2 years ago, we started the search for land and we resulted in a land purchase last March. So thank you to Mary Beth and the rest of the board for making this possible. Throughout the search, we adhered to budget. We sifted through many sites that would allow proximity to greenery, the healthcare, grocery stores, schools, employment options for survivors, because we don't believe survivors need to be siloed, still proximity to these important resources. Additionally, in finding our land, it was an attractive find to learn that underground utilities were underground for us, and we know this is a huge cost savings with any construction project. And then lastly, I share with you, I'm sure you might have questions or curiosities about where we purchased land, and I will tell you it is located right outside of Hopkinsville, and deferring any questions about the location to a more private setting would be the best option for us today. So now I invite you to look into our new facility. This is one of the first few looks that we're offering here. The key elements of our facility include ADA compliance for individuals with maybe mobility issues. I mentioned the energy savings. That was a big win for us, both larger and smaller rooms to accommodate various family sizes. Designated parking, a place that we can have controlled access in and out of the building with a gated community-like, but also a security arm at the entrance and exit of our space. Spaces for adults and children, and separate wings for residential and non-residential clients. I think a lot of people think sanctuary is its emergency shelter, and while it is, we know there are plenty of folks who aren't staying with us that need our services. So I do like to make mention that about 80 to 90% of our clients on an annual basis are non-residential. So keeping separate wings for them is important. And then of course, an on-site sexual assault forensics exam with the contracted nurses that perform the SAFE exams. Okay, so who's ready to see our video? Okay. For those of you that can't see the words, this is the assessment and intake room. This is the greeting area and lobby. We have our safe room, our medical room, a multi-purpose room for support groups. Also a space for our non-residential clients we serve. A component to our building will be administration offices for staff members. And then here's a look at one of our emergency shelter rooms. Outdoor play areas for children. This is a look at one of our larger rooms for our larger families, maybe a children with adults with several children. A therapy garden. And lastly, a dining area with a commercial grade kitchen. So that's the building. It's a huge milestone. It's very exciting. I can't stop watching the video. I played this at the pad office. We didn't have the music behind it. I think it makes a world of difference. There are also pieces that our architect is still working in designing, and we know this video will continue to expand, and we'll be glad to keep you updated along the way. Amazingly, though, this space, it's not the bells and whistles. This space is half the square footage of the current building that we're in right now, but still serving the same amount of people in accordance with the trend data. So that's especially important to note. We didn't go larger, but we went for more efficiency so that every square inch of this building would be designed for its intended use. A few other goals of our reimagined sanctuary are here on the screen. Enhanced safety, confidentiality, healing environments, child-centered spaces, empowered staff, and building efficiency. So just want to say here that it has been quite the journey. It's been a long time coming. If I could have made this move happen yesterday, I would have, but we certainly have achieved a lot, and I just want to recognize that. I understand there's still a long ways to go. I do want to say also that this is not an outcry for a capital public campaign. We are still working out funding sources. As I mentioned, we're state and federally funded, so there are some opportunities, and with some creative grant funding, that we can make this possible. We're also working on our USDA formal approval for the loan that we need to secure the funding that we would use to pay back over 40 years of time, which is really great, unbeatable by a lot of folks. So, I appreciate the opportunity to just share with you what's in the works in a very exciting, monumental time for Sanctuary, and would love to include you just in, again, sharing the updates, and as more unravels, sharing that with you. But in the meantime, do you have any questions? Do you have any comments that maybe you want to make about Sanctuary, our services, or our new building plan? Well, we're really relying on USDA. They can be very helpful. Less than five. I would love to say three completed. Starting it next year, completing it by year two or year three even. But I guess I can't say without the USDA and how quickly that comes to us, or any contracting things that may come up along the way, as well as weather conditions. But that's an idea. It's a good question. Anybody else?
Does the property have room to expand?
Yes, it's a great question. We designed this with opportunity to grow on either side of the building, just so that 30, 40 years from now, I won't be around, but somebody will want to maybe expand, then they would have the opportunity.
Yes. I'm new to the community, so I'm just learning about your agency, but I helped one in Indiana years ago.
We serve all people. Yes. We have and don't see as many men as we do women, but we do make the accommodations for anyone that wants to stay in our shelter. Or we work with local partners and hotels across the nine counties, as well as churches, to make that possible. Yes.
I know sometimes there are folks that come for emergency short term. Are there others that are there for a little bit longer term?
So folks come to us in immediate crisis, and they're met within the first 48 hours with a case manager that can determine what their immediate needs are and make a plan so that we can achieve goals and help them get back to independent living, understanding that our shelter is very temporary, and the longer we serve them, the less we're able to help others who need our services. But I've seen folks stay for a day up to 6 months. Between 3 and 6 months is about the cap for an emergency stay. And then we're looking at more transitional housing, and then, of course, independent sustainabilities. Yes, sir.
In case you didn't know, within the last 10 days, we've had 3 people related to our county killed in domestic violence situations.
It's terrible, and I'm so sorry.
I had a funeral last Saturday, and I don't know if the other two have been buried yet or not, but one's all their siblings live in the county and grew up here. A son and grandson were murdered, and then a son, a community leader here, was killed. I shouldn't say murdered. They all three died under domestic situation.
It's terrible. And another reason for our sanctuary and our services, maybe not for the victims directly, but even the secondary folks that are affected by this, the community, the family, the friends, we're here for them as well. I mentioned this is 24/7 work that we do, and we have a staff of about 30. People don't realize we're that big, but serving a large region that we do, we're out in the trenches. We can't stop the bad things from happening, but we can certainly come alongside and support them and grieve with them and remind them that they're not alone in this. Do you have a question, sir? We have between 15 and 20 adults, and that doesn't include their children, so easily 35, 40, but adults, yeah.
You mentioned trend data. Where does the trend data come from?
That would come from ours and looking back over the last 10 years, seeing the average number served. That's what we did to use in deciding how much space was going to be needed in architectural renderings. I can share with you that Kentucky statewide data tells us 1 in 3 people will be affected by domestic violence.
And of the violence that occurs over the course of the year, do you know what portion of that is domestic versus just
I would have to say the majority, but I don't have a number. Oh, goodness, right.
It's interesting they moved out of the family members recently. Mm-hmm. Because that's really significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's pretty common for a situation like that to involve family members.
Usually it is, you look at the family and those that are closest to, but we see a lot, and Kelly, feel free to chime in on this. You're working with clients and staff members providing direct client services. You see a lot of times it is the family member or friend, close kin to the survivor who has harmed them, and that's physically and also sexually.
We're actually just talking in the car on the way here. I work on the sexual assault side of things. Sexual assault and domestic violence oftentimes go hand in hand. Only 30% of sexual assaults are committed by a stranger. The majority are either by an intimate partner, a family member, an acquaintance, or somebody close to the victim. So we tend to think of sexual assault as being like the stranger danger, which does happen, but typically it's somebody much closer that has more access and more familiarity with the victim.
That's a good point that you bring up. Yes, sir.
I think you made a point, though, you said family member, so it's not necessarily always a spouse on a spouse.
Correct.
So we hear the term domestic violence, but we're really leaning more towards intimate partner violence, so can be a family member. And we've served those that are affected by spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, but also we had a mother we served not too terribly long ago that the adult son was living in her house and was doing unimaginable things to hurt her. She left her own house to come to us.
It's not always a man against a woman, a male against a female.
That's correct.
Do you guys get data related to gambling, alcohol, drug use, any tie to that? Is that something that you guys can, because I know that CAD is part of a police work, but do you guys get those type of data points as well where other external or internal factors lead to an abusive relationship?
certainly it occurs, and we know that some folks going through abuse maybe don't have the healthiest coping mechanisms, but may rely on some unhealthier choices, and we have to have these honest conversations when they come through our doors to help them address, not to turn them away, but to say we understand where you're at and how can we support you, but dealing with those first before the domestic violence, that, like I mentioned, the complexities, that can be certainly something we see, but not always.
Other questions?
This would serve the nine county area, this facility.
Yes, sir.
Remind me again of the nine counties in our region.
Sure. Okay, so we have Christian County, we have Crittenden County, Caldwell, Livingston, we have Lyon County, Muhlenberg, Hopkins, Trigg, and Todd. Did I do it? Yeah, that's a good way to remember it, and the footprint of the pad is the area. And for the state of Kentucky, there's a domestic violence shelter funded in the similar ways that we are, one for every ad district, so between 14 and 15 shelters. And we use each other all the time as referral sources, because what may not be safe for an individual in this community may be in Lexington, or it may be in eastern Kentucky. We certainly have resources and transport arrangements we can make to get them there so that they can begin again. Any other questions?
Other than incarceration, are there any services available to abusers to try to help them get out of the cycle of abuse?
Yes, sir. I know there are some court-mandated options. Maybe that's anger management or another course of action. It's not something Sanctuary involves itself in. We are survivor-based, but we certainly want to see a world where we're violence-free, and certainly support our judges in making their preferences so that consequences can happen and that maybe change can occur. Any other questions?
I just want to say thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It is an amazing service that you all do provide, and it's
thank
a beacon of hope for people.
Thank you so much.
And we wish you well while you're not looking for a capital campaign. It's always good to share the information, and people
yeah.
might share. And just a small token,
tea
for
so
Trigico
nice.
in the center, or if nothing else.
Yes.
And so
we
thank
have
you.
Reading nooks for our survivors.
Yes.
And I think it's nice for them to be reminded that their community is supporting them and rallying behind them. So we'll put this in a place where it can be accessed.
Great.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.